Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning's meditation is the gospel lesson read to you earlier. Please be seated. My dear friends in Christ, in the Disney film Frozen, due to her hazardous ability to turn anything into ice, Elsa's parents lay down the law that she always must wear gloves, stay in the palace, not play with her sibling. But all those years under the burden of obeying these strict rules only make her miserable, alienate her sister from her, create a natural disaster for the kingdom, and cause her to then run away to North Mountain to be all alone, but supposedly free now of all those legalistic burdens. And so it's there she sings, "Let it go, let it go, and I'll rise like the break of dawn. Let it go, let it go, that perfect girl is gone." Well, Jesus was addressing kind of a similar issue in this morning's gospel when he said, "Come to me, all you who are exhausted and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." In other words, Jesus is saying to us, let it go. Or perhaps more accurately, let go and let God. But before I go on, I've got to be honest with you about this famous passage in which Jesus offers rest for our burdens. Does it speak to those burdened with cancer, or crushed under the weight of credit card debt, or parents wearied by rebellious offspring, or couples struggling through a divorce process, or addicts battling their personal demons, or the chronically depressed, or the exhausted workaholic? And the answer is absolutely. But when you look at the context here, Jesus was specifically addressing how to let go of the greatest burden of all in our lives, and that is the burden of the law that Paul talked about in today's epistle, the law that constantly reminds us of our sins and their consequences. In Matthew 23, verse 4, Jesus said of the scribes and Pharisees, "They bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders." Every Jew back then lived his life in a forest of regulations that dictated every action of his life. He was forever listening to a little voice that said, "Thou shalt not." In Jesus' time, the Jewish scribes and the rabbis added so many man-made laws to God's law that the people couldn't even keep track of them all. But then I guess we can kind of relate. After 46 years and hundreds of billions of dollars, the EPA alone has created so many laws and regulations that they now refuse to count or publish all of them because it would be far too expensive. And so in our text today, Jesus offers us law-weary followers some respite with something for us to do, something for us to leave, something for us to take, something for us to find, and something for us to learn. Let's take a quick look at each, starting with something for us to do. And that is to simply come to Jesus. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." Of course, Luther reminded us in his explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed, "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him." That's because our salvation is totally a gracious gift and action of God, not of man. However, once the Holy Spirit has placed us into that saving relationship through faith in the Savior, then our so-called come-to-Jesus moments can and should be happening all the time, especially when we begin to feel that anvil of the law pressing down on our conscience, piling on the guilt and threatening to squeeze us back into trying to work our own way to salvation, to heaven. But here, Jesus invites us to let all that go and instead come to him. And notice, he didn't say come to religion. He said come to me. The irony is that a religion will just add more burdens of the law to try to make you feel better. A burdened Muslim would be told to observe the five pillars of Islam, which includes praying five times a day and fasting 1 month every year during daylight hours. An Orthodox Jew would say, to be righteous, don't prepare dairy and meat in the same kitchen, or don't push an elevator button on the Sabbath. A Hindu will tell you to be reincarnated into a higher existence by making an offering at your household shrine 3 times a day. But Jesus simply invites you to come to him, who has already fulfilled God's law for you through his perfect life and sacrificial death. The second thing Jesus offers us in our text is something to leave, namely our burdens. Jesus says, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. In other words, leave your burdens with him. Now, you might think that people who are practically buried under a bundle of burdens would be eager to take Jesus up on his standing invitation to come to him, let go of those burdens, leave them at Jesus' feet, and just walk away. And yet, how often do we even think to ourselves, you know, before I try that, with a little more effort, I think I can handle this burden myself. That's our egos talking. It's kind of like the guy with a really heavy suitcase in his hand who steps into the hotel elevator and yet still keeps the suitcase in his hand all the way up to the 20th floor. He won't let go, even though the elevator could be doing all the heavy lifting for him, while even taking him along for the ride. But when the Heavenly Father sent his only begotten into this world to handle the burden of our sin and the demands of the law, you notice he only sent one Savior, because only he had the qualifications to handle that kind of task, the seemingly impossible burden set before him on the cross. And, in fact, he accomplished that mission, didn't he? Which is why St. Paul calls Christ our ultimate burden bearer, who bore, quote, our sins in his own body on the cross. Next, in our text, Jesus surprisingly offers us something to take, his yoke. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think we all know pretty much what a yoke is. So doesn't that seem a bit harsh to offer a spiritually exhausted, a law-burdened person a yoke to wear? Not the kind that Jesus is offering, because you notice he calls his yoke easy, which literally translated means custom-built, well-fitting. You know, whenever they would yoke a pair of oxen together, they'd never take an off-the-rack, one-size-fits-all yoke. But instead, the carpenter would go to the animal, measure the ox's neck, and do several custom adjustments because he wanted to make sure that that yoke would not be too heavy or too loose or chafe the neck so that the animal ultimately could easily bear whatever burden it was given. In fact, there's a legend that Jesus made the best ox yokes in all of Galilee. And like today's, you know, shops had signs above the door. It was suggested that the sign above the door of the carpenter's shop in Nazareth may very well have been, my yokes fit well. So also Jesus is saying to us, whatever God sends you is made to fit your needs and abilities exactly, never giving you more than you can bear. And that means the burden is light, not so much because the burden is easy to carry, but because it's laid on us in love and meant to be carried in love. Love makes even the heaviest burden light. Like that very well-known story, the man who, you know, met the little boy carrying a smaller lame boy on his back. That's a heavy burden for you to carry, says the man. That's no burden, came the answer. That's my little brother. 1 John 5:3 reminds us, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. A burden given in love and carried in love is always light. And just to be clear, Jesus never promised a life devoid of burdens, of trials, or of tribulations. What he does guarantee is that when we willingly yoke ourselves to him, he will bear those burdens with us and then see us through. The next in our text, Jesus gives us something to find. It's called rest. Jesus says, you will find rest for your soul. One of the words that I think best describes our culture is restless. I really haven't watched any soap operas for at least 3 decades now. So let me ask, is The Young and the Restless still on? It's probably called The Old and the Restless by now, right? But I bet they're not getting any more rest now than they did back then. Back in the 1960s, a so-called expert testified before a Senate subcommittee that advances in technology over the next 50 years will radically change how many hours a week people will have to work. And so instead of working 40 hours a week, American workers could expect to work an average of 22 hours a week by the 1980s and 15 hours a week by the beginning of the 20th century. And then the report went on to say, the greatest challenge for American workers will be figuring out what to do with all their leisure time. Is there anybody out here whose biggest challenge is figuring out what to do with your excess time? We live in a rat race where people are busier than ever, working more hours than ever, and taking far less vacation time than any other industrialized nation. As they say, no rest for the weary. And yet, that wasn't the kind of rest that Jesus actually promises that we will find in him. The rest he offers is much better than a good night's sleep or an extended vacation or even retirement. As St. Augustine put it, there is no rest except in you, O Lord. And Jesus says, you will find rest for your soul. He's talking about rest from your labors of trying to earn your own salvation. Ironically, many souls are troubled because they've been working hard for salvation, a salvation, though, that Christ already accomplished for them, so that now we can rest in the finished work of Calvary. You know, I've often caught myself saying, if I could only end such and such, then I could get some quality rest. But that's faulty thinking. When I'm yoked to Christ, I don't have to wait for a sunny day to arrive or a storm to go away or for a project to get completed. Jesus has given me a peace the world cannot give, a complete forgiveness that lets me sleep like a baby in a spiritual serenity that lets me rest easy, even in the midst of trials. But there's still a fifth and final thing that Jesus gives us in our text, and that is something to learn, and that is how to follow his example. Jesus says, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. I kind of like the way the monk and poet Thomas Merton added his personal twist to these words of Jesus when he prayed, give me humility in which alone is rest, and deliver me from pride, which is the heaviest of burdens. When Jesus used the word learn here in our text, he used basically the same word that we use for disciple. A disciple is a learner. And so Jesus is saying, if we're yoked together, I'm not learning from you, you're learning from me. Watch me then. And whatever I do, you need to do if this thing's going to work out for us. If you find me standing and moving, you need to be standing and moving. If you find me sitting and taking a rest, you need to be sitting and taking a rest. Learn from me. Don't get ahead of me. Look at me. Follow my example. This is exactly what Jesus' own disciple, Simon Peter, had in mind when he wrote in 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. Peter says it in his epistle. Jesus says it in our passage. Burdened by life? Weighed down by religion? overwhelmed by the common problems of life, then look to me, learn from me, gain strength from me, and you'll find true rest for your souls. Because unlike what you might think, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And I did for you. Now, the true law, God's law, is now no longer an enemy meant to burden you, but now rather a guide for how to willingly please God, not to earn his love, but simply to learn how to celebrate that love through the saving presence of his Son in your life. In that final film of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, Frodo and Sam climb Mount Doom, carrying the evil ring of power with the goal of destroying it in the fires of the mountain once and for all. The climb's treacherous, with lava and fireballs hurling through the air like meteors. The climb is treacherous, and as well, too, because Gollum, that poor, ugly creature, is trying to kill Frodo and grab the ring. But Sam protects his master from Gollum's attack, and they resume their climb. However, Frodo alone must carry the ring. But the burden becomes so heavy that he ultimately collapses from exhaustion, unable to take even another step. Sam cradles Frodo in his arms and says, "Let's be rid of this ring once and for all. Come on, Mr. Frodo. I'm not allowed to carry the ring for you, but I can carry you. Come on." Sam hoists Frodo onto his back and carries him to the top of Mount Doom, where after some final struggles, the ring is destroyed. Even when we feel so overburdened that we can't take another step further, we are yoked to a Savior who will carry us through to the end. So isn't it time to let go of any false notions that Christ's yoke will be too much for us to bear, or that our burdens are too great for even him to deal with? For all who are exhausted or overburdened by the law, isn't it finally time to let it go, or better yet, to let go and let God? May he grant this in his Son's precious name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.